On Thursday, 24th of August, at 2 p.m., the second session of the General Assembly of the International Astronomical Union voted on various resolutions to do with the definition of a planet in the solar system and the designation of Pluto, whether it is a planet or not. The chair for the session was Professor Ron Eckers, who is the outgoing IAU president. And there was a sequence of questions and answers before the vote on each resolution. Resolution 5A is to do with the definition of a planet. And I'll restate that resolution here. A planet must be, 1, in orbit around the Sun, 2, have sufficient mass so that it has a round or nearly round shape, and 3, has cleared the neighbourhood around its orbit. Resolution 5A goes on to say that a dwarf planet is, 1, in orbit around the Sun, 2, has sufficient mass to be round or nearly round, 3, has not cleared the neighbourhood around its orbit, and 4, is not a satellite of a planet. All the other objects orbiting the Sun shall be referred to collectively as small solar system bodies. Here now are some questions from the floor at the second session, followed by answers from the panel.
Yes, sir.
Clarification. What is a satellite, and is Charon a satellite or a dwarf planet?
Well, right at this minute, of course, there is confusion about Charon. If we pass Resolution 5A, Charon is not a planet because it is not the dominant object in its area. It has not cleared the zone around its orbit.
Two questions of clarification. Actually, to amplify on that one, is Charon a dwarf planet by this resolution? And my other question is Ceres now a dwarf planet by this definition?
If we pass 5A, Ceres is?
Yes. Charon is specifically not discussed or not included. There was a separate resolution at one time proposed regarding it. That resolution has been withdrawn. Ceres, by definition, would become a dwarf planet.
I think I understand that the classification of Charon is not included in the resolution, but the question was asked, how does Charon fit into the categorization that's described in the resolution? And if it doesn't fit, then it appears that the structure really isn't adequate.
It's a satellite. As long as it remains a satellite, it's out with this resolution.
A satellite of a dwarf planet.
That is
but
correct.
A satellite.
That would be a correct description. Mm-hmm.
Just a point of clarification. I believe it's my understanding that the distinction between a satellite and a binary, of which the solar system now has many, is not addressed by this resolution and may have to be addressed at some future time by another resolution.
That is correct.
I want to ask about the phrase or the conditional clause on nearly round. That would seem to exclude highly distorted, rapidly rotating planets.
There will be an intelligent application of this definition by a group within IAU Division 3.
But what was the logic for putting it in? Because it reads without it.
Well, for example, the Earth is not perfectly round or perfectly spherical because of rotation. So the definition does allow for oblateness.
Yes, but you could just remove the clause. It would be a body that's in hydrostatic equilibrium.
This is also to aid the understanding beyond this auditorium.
Everybody knows that the planet orbit of Neptune and Pluto crosses.
Yes.
So in 1C, in the point 1C, it is not clear whether Neptune is a planet. Because in 1C has
footnote
cleared
one.
The neighborhood around its orbit, and Neptune didn't clear the neighborhood around its orbit.
Footnote 1.
Yeah. We have defined Neptune to be a planet, and you could also say it is the dominant object in that area.
Neptune controls the objects beyond it in a 3-2 resonance. This illustrates Neptune's dominance of that zone.
I think that a good definition is one that allows you to recognize that this is what you're seeing and allows you to distinguish it from things that don't belong in the same class. I think this is really getting quite close to that. I have one small concern, though. I can think of three or four ways to define for an elementary astronomy class dominance in its neighborhood. I'm not exactly sure I could explain to such a class how you observe that it has cleared its area. Now, that just may be that I'm not a dynamical astronomer, but that's a historical event that we can't actually observe directly.
I would give you two examples. The first is Ceres residing within the asteroid belt. The second is Pluto residing within the Kuiper belt.
As examples of objects that have not cleared.
These would be objects that have not cleared their zone.
Yes.
So I think the asteroid belt, which is the most well understood, most well known even by kids who see the movies, would understand that that zone has not been cleared.
The most important point here, though, is the one that, which was brought earlier to me by Dennis Drabins. How do we know that this was this planet that cleared its neighborhood?
The Maybe definitions are based on the solar system as we observe it today.
That's history. We don't know who came and cleared the neighborhood. We don't know what the migration was.
And a General Assembly 3 billion years ago would have defined it differently. A General Assembly in a few billion years in the future may define things differently. This is about definitions of the planets as we observe them today.
So my conclusion on that, sorry about the elevator, I'm sort of pushing the next button, is that there is so much left in this resolution to the common sense that I would propose to drop all the resolutions and leave footnote number one.
We will now take the vote on Resolution 5A. It is, of course, a scientific matter, and this will be a vote by individual members. So, will those members in favor hold up the yellow card? Let's get a quick check. Those against, we'll count if necessary. Those abstaining, then I believe the resolution is clearly carried.
Resolution 5B is a slight modification to Resolution 5A, and it reads like this. Resolution 5B, insert the word classical before the word planet in Resolution 5A, thus reading, a classical planet is, etc., etc., etc.
But I'd like now to turn to Richard Binzel to formally introduce this bit of the resolution.
Using the words classical planets is a compromise that allows for more than one kind of planet in our universe. Yet advocates of the clearing the zone model have refused this term. They will tell you why. Listen carefully. The word planet is being restricted to just one narrow point of view. Their restriction means that a dwarf planet is not a planet. It would be like saying a dwarf star is not a star. We can fix this. Will we have too many planets? Will we confuse the public? No. It's easy. The distinction is as simple as an umbrella. You have two sides under the umbrella. There are the familiar eight classical planets and the multitude of dwarf planets that we're discovering today. And it's those discoveries that are the excitement that bring us here. We want to emphasize that excitement. As for Pluto, we would be very clear. Pluto is a planet, but it is in the dwarf planet category. This is exactly the kind of cultural consideration that the Planet Definition Committee was asked for. So please, pass 5B. The word planet must be shared. Thank you.
Could I now call on Professor Mark Bailey to speak equally briefly against?
Thank you. The key issue is the definition of the concept planet. This is a very important decision to be taken by the IAU. Resolution 5A is very close to the version agreed by consensus at the information meeting on Tuesday evening. There it was made clear that three distinct categories were being defined: planet, dwarf planet, and small solar system body. The amendment proposes to insert the adjective classical in front of the word planet. It is inconsistent with the first paragraph of the resolution, as has been mentioned, and transforms three distinct categories into two classes, namely planets and the rest, and that too has been made clear. The amendment further divides the planet class into two subcategories, namely classical planet and dwarf planet. In answer to the question, how many planets in the solar system, Resolution 5A gives the clear answer, 8. Resolution 5B implies at least 11 and soon several dozen. Both Pluto and Ceres become planets, and probably several main belt asteroids and known TNOs as well. Resolution 5B not only removes a fundamental dynamical distinction for a planet, it is confusing and internally inconsistent. In my view, it should be rejected. Thank you.
So we will now take the vote. Those who are in favor of Amendment 5B, raise your cards. We looked into the cost of electronic voting, but decided that the money was better spent on scientific meetings.
Mr. President, we report 91 votes in favor.
We will now count those who are against resolution Amendment 5B. Okay.
I think, Mr. President, a further vote is a further count is not honestly needed.
Okay. There's a clear. We'll take the number abstaining. Then it's clear that Resolution 5B is not passed.
Resolutions 6A and 6B are to do with Pluto. Resolution 6A reads, Pluto is a dwarf planet by the above definition, namely Resolution 5A, and is recognized as the prototype of a new category of trans-Neptunian objects.
The recommendation is that we consider Pluto and other similar trans-Neptunian objects to be in a special class, of which Pluto was the first discovered. That's the gist of Resolution 6A. I'll now turn formally to Richard Binzel yet again for the formal presentation of this resolution.
Resolution 6A recognizes the scientific significance of the discovery of Pluto, which heralded our advancing knowledge of the outer solar system. Many more Plutos certainly remain to be discovered, and this is a way to coherently group them as a distinct class.
We can take questions for clarification. Yes, somebody at this microphone, sir?
Just a question on how this new prototype category is actually defined. In other words, how is it distinct from other trans-Newtonian objects?
You have to qualify in the dwarf planet category, and secondly, you have to be trans-Neptunian. So trans-Neptunian dwarf planets would be within this category, as yet to be named.
Gentleman there, and then I'll come to you.
The footnote to Resolution 6A, and apparently we are now considering footnotes, says that an IU process will be established to select a name for this category of trans-Neptunian dwarf planets. Then the next resolution we are considering seems to be defining this category. So are these two resolutions mutually exclusive?
So thank you. The footnote is there in the event that 6B does not pass. So 6A establishes the category. If 6B establishes a name, then that footnote is removed. The intention here is twofold. One is to recognize how Pluto was the precursor to an entire population. Secondly, there are dwarf planet candidates, many of them, a few dozen, beyond Neptune, that scientifically fall in the same kind of category. In other words, we ask the same types of planetary or dwarf planetary kinds of questions about them. This is the scientific reason for the grouping. It's a way of characterizing these kind of objects together.
Yes, sir?
On a purely scientific question, what will you do if in the coming years you discover a trans-Neptunian planet which is as large, let us say, as Neptune?
We'll solve it when we get to it.
If this resolution passes, if we use the term in 6B, we would call it a plutonian planet or a plutonian object.
The important question is, are you defining all trans-Neptunian objects as objects like Pluto, or only the dwarf planets among the trans-Neptunian objects?
Yeah. Only the dwarf planets.
So there are many other trans-Neptunian objects which are not part of this category.
That is correct. The multitude, the abundance, the majority of trans-Neptunian objects are not in this category. That's why this category is interesting.
At the moment, we are asking whether you are happy to have a new category which includes Pluto and Pluto's pals. Let me put it as loosely as that. That's what this resolution is about. Chairman.
Okay, so we take the vote on 6A, and I'll first of all just get a show yes and no, and then we'll decide if the counting is needed. Those who are in favor of Resolution 6A, which introduces this new category of trans-Neptunian objects with Pluto as a prototype. Those opposed, I think we'll have to count. Those abstaining, we'll have to take a count on this one. Are you ready, Virginia?
Again, please, if you are voting in favor of 6A, stand with your little yellow card in front of your heart. And my five tellers will again go down the rows. Your row will be counted from one side only. So keep an eye out for your teller. And when he, she, or it has passed, sit down.
Okay, we have 237 in favor of Resolution 6A. 157 opposed, 17 abstaining, so the motion is carried. I have a correction to the number of abstentions, which is 30. The conclusion is the same.
This finally brings us to Resolution 6B. I expect we need our coffee break. I think this is a relatively simple issue. You like the name or you don't. I'm going to ask Richard Bindzel to introduce the motion and then ask that we move straight to the vote.
Resolution 6B proposes to call this group Plutonian objects. The Merriam-Webster Dictionary provides us with a very appropriate definition. Plutonian pronunciation, Plutonian adjective, often capitalized, of relating to or characteristic of Pluto or the lower world.
So we will take a vote on Resolution 6B, which names the category which we have just resolved for in 6A to be Plutonian objects. Those in favor of the word Plutonian objects. Again, I'll do a quick check. Those opposed? Those abstaining?
Mr. President, we report 183 votes in favor. Mr. President, you're going to love this. We report 186 votes against. And unfortunately, if we recount, we will almost certainly get different numbers because people aren't always sure when they should sit down. And several of us, I believe, have died in situ.
I think on the basis of that count, there's clearly there is no majority for yes, certainly not a clear one. Unless anybody wanted a recount, those in favor of a revote, those against, I think this is against a revote. Just a sec.
The basic upshot of all of this is that Pluto has been recategorized as a dwarf planet. There are now 8 planets in the solar system: Mercury, Venus, Earth, Mars, Jupiter, Saturn, Uranus, and Neptune. Pluto is a dwarf planet. By the new definition, Ceres is also a dwarf planet. Pluto is the prototype of a new category of trans-Neptunian objects, which are also dwarf planets. Unfortunately, the IAU did not decide on a name for this category of dwarf planets. The IAU will set up a committee to decide the name of this new category of dwarf planets, of which the newly discovered dwarf planet UB313 is likely to be a member. So that brings the debate of what it is to be a planet to an end, at least for the time being. So we can return now to some more astronomy in other parts of the universe other than the local neighborhood.